This is a HeadGum Podcast.
3, 2, 1. Nice.
I don't know why I get so nervous before we clap while you're counting. Like, it actually makes me shake.
Yeah, I have that effect on people, and I'm very sorry. I don't know why people get so nervous during the clap.
It's a stressful time.
You shouldn't be sorry for that, Marissa. That's unadulterated power.
Yeah. It's like the most confident I feel when I'm setting up the podcast is like counting that clap down. Aside from that, I'm an anxious mess. But counting that down, that clap, that's the one thing I have confidence for. All right, let's record.
Let's record. Though, honestly, I would say the thing I feel the most confident about in quarantine. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, please.
Pressing this theme and not having to talk for 30 seconds.
Neil, you have to share your audio. We're not hearing the Zoom audio.
Are you kidding? You couldn't hear that?
I know. I just saw you press a button and I was like, I'm going to assume there's some post-production magic happening right now. Look, I've done enough Zoom recordings that I just roll with the punches at this point in time, Miel. So like...
Marissa, keep all of this.
It's time for Punch the Jam. Punch the Jam. Punch the Jam. Punch the Jam.
Hi, welcome to Punch of the Jam with me and Brian David Gilbert.
That's me. I'm here.
What if I just introduced you like you were a co-host casually?
Hello. I'm here now forever.
You know what I'll do here? This is how I'll equalize it. I'll give myself an introduction. And then I'll give you the introduction, and then we're starting on even footing. You ready?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, here we go. Hey, you know me from this, because you listen to it every other week. It's me! Okay. I think I killed that.
I think you did too.
Thank you very much. I love a supportive partner. Okay, now it's your turn. You know him! That's Brian David Gilbert. He's from the internet and the podcast Let's Make a Music. Brian David Gilbert.
That's me. I feel so happy because the last time I was here, I think I was just from the internet. Now I have a second thing that you can append to my name.
Do not sell yourself short. You also make music. I just didn't feel like mentioning it, but you do make very good music.
But Miel made the specific choice to ignore the fact that I make legitimate music.
That's how I maintain my power here.
That's good. No, I feel put in my place. I feel ready to record a podcast with you.
Brian, thank you so much for coming back. I had so much fun with you on the Backstreet Boys episode you did before. I meant to ask you that whole episode, and I don't think I did. Was there already a Brian Gilbert?
In the world, there are hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of Brian Gilberts in the world. There is a director who is British, and I think he makes period pieces, but he hasn't made one since the 90s. So I think now if you just search Brian Gilbert,
it's you.
My ugly mug shows up first.
Okay, I won't stand for that kind of slander. Please try that again. Go, Marissa, bleep out him saying ugly one more time.
That my mug shows up first.
Okay, Brian, are you ready to get down to business?
I am so excited about this.
This is, of course, Like a Prayer by Madonna.
By Madonna. God.
I think this is the second Madonna song we've done on the show, and maybe someone fact check me. I don't care enough to do it myself. The only time we've ever done an artist twice.
Oh, wow. Madonna. Well, here's the thing. Madonna has so many hits.
Right?
That, like... You were gonna have to hit Madonna again at some point. What was the first Madonna song? I can't remember.
The very first one? Couldn't tell you. The one that we did?
Yes, the one that you did.
Can you
list off Madonna's discography from me?
Yes.
In time.
The very first song Madonna ever did was when she was 11 years old. It was called "Daddy's Not So Nice to Me on Sundays." It was written after a trip to the ice cream store went bad. Mm-hmm. No, we did Material Girl with Nomi Fry. It was very fun. But this, I think, was her seventh number one on your point of so many hits.
Unbelievable.
Did you know this song was so controversial?
I mean, I kind of assumed as much. Because then after listening to it, I was like, this song's a little horny for Jesus. But I was like, that's definitely going to cause some controversy. But I didn't know just how controversial it was.
Yeah.
Until I looked it up.
People were hella mad about this. I didn't have any idea. To me, this is just like the song we used to blast at the dances to really get jiggy with it, you know?
Yeah.
Casually trying to get jiggy with it back. Thanks for noticing.
I mean, I'm not upset about that. Get Jiggy With It should be back on all of our minds at all times.
When did you, like, do you have a vibe with this song or any history with it?
I feel like it definitely popped on, like, some middle school dance for me at some point. And now looking back at it, like, I don't know why, because it was, like, there alongside Flo Rida and, like...
From the window to the wall!
That's not Flo Rida, is it?
No, that's Lil Jon.
But that song was there as well. Yeah. But it was there alongside my, like, middle school principal in the corner, very uncomfortable with the amount of grinding that was going on with 12-year-olds that was happening. I was not a part of that. I was a good, sweet boy who never ground.
What were you doing?
I was standing beside the principal, also feeling uncomfortable.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
Well, it also doesn't really make a lot of sense, your point about Flo Rida and my point about Lil Jon, because this song did come out in 1989, so I'm not totally sure why we were listening to it so much.
I don't either. I feel like it was just definitely one of those things where, like, they needed to throw some songs on for the parents, the chaperones to enjoy.
Sidebar... At the time, I was like, oh, chaperones. And as an adult, I'm like, you are the saints of this earth. Why would you agree to chaperone anything?
It's so true. I will admit that my mom volunteered multiple times to be chaperones of, like, everything. Not because she was, like, a helicopter mom. I think she just liked the attention. I think because my mom is still a very cool person. But, like, she loved to go to things. And people would always be like, oh, Miss Gilbert, you're so nice. Miss Janet, oh, you're so wonderful. And my mom just ate it up. And so
wear a dress. She'd chaperone the dance and she'd be like, I'm going to wear a dress too. Just get in the spirit.
Yeah. Definitely that sort of vibe.
I love her. Thank you, Janet. Mm-hmm. It was co-written with her longtime producer, Patrick Leonard, who this isn't really relevant, but worked with a ton of people. But most recently, he co-did that last Leonard Cohen record. So the range on this man.
Wow.
I know.
Good for him.
Yeah, no kidding. Also, the Leonards. Okay. The gospel vocals are the Andre Crouch Choir. Famous choir.
Yeah.
They wanted to, like, suss out the religious connotations to make sure, like, they were in line with theirs before they agreed to do it. I don't know how Madonna convinced them, considering there is maybe some innuendo about giving Jesus a blowjob, but whatever.
You never get... Yeah, I feel like that would... I would have loved to have been a part of that meeting. Because, like, definitely a lot of, like... That being said, though, let's be honest. A lot of good gospel songs toe that line.
I think that, and to me, as, like, a raised atheist, like, isn't that kind of religion, though, at large? Like,
it is. Well, so, okay, so here's something I've been thinking about a lot. I've been playing a lot of a very good game called Hades, and it's all about Greek gods, and it just hammers home the point that Greek gods were horny as hell. Just so horny.
Zeus was fucking, could not stop.
Constantly.
Stayed fucking.
Yes, continued just until the very end.
Hera was like, God damn it!
please stop turning into a fucking swan and fucking. Like, I understand that you can get it on with anyone in any format.
Doesn't mean you should!
Yeah. It's, regardless, is that I was looking at this old, Greek mythology, and I was like, as someone who was raised in a Catholic household and then was not confirmed after, that's a different story. we could get into that if we want. But the important thing is that I'm saying is that, like, old religion used to be way cooler with being a little horny.
Everyone bees fucking. It's okay. Like, I don't think we should be. So, if you have some thoughts about your God that maybe verge on horniness, I think that's fine. I don't see the issue. It's whatever you need for you. It's not like you're hurting anybody.
You know, that's fine. I really am glad that I'm not assuming that many of your listeners are coming to this specific episode to be offended by us.
I mean, maybe after all this time, people are, like, still horny to be pissed about this song. Maybe. I don't know.
It's possible. Look, there's always the Catholic Church will find any excuse to pin blame on something other than them.
I'm glad you brought them up, because do you know what they did about this song?
The only thing I read was that Pope John Paul II specifically asked Italians to boycott Madonna, which is so very funny
yes,
to me.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. When you piss off the Vatican, I'm sorry, but you definitely did something right. Like, that's crazy.
That's impressive.
Considering the song was written in one day.
Wow. They nailed it. That's...
Is that a Catholic joke?
Is it?
Then they nailed it? Come on.
Oh, okay. They nailed it. That's where the joke comes. You're right. Yeah. Uh-huh. 100%. Correct.
I guess she was looking to cater more to her adult audience, but Pepsi was pretty not great about it. She had this, like... She was, like, one of the first people to do, like, a sponsorship with, like, a brand as, like, a celebrity person. And after that controversy, they had just signed the deal, and Pepsi was like, we're out of here.
That's amazing to me. So the thing is, this song, by itself, it has, I would say, like, on its own, I wouldn't 100% be like, this is too controversial. But the music video what really hammered it home.
So glad you brought that up. Stop what you're doing and go watch it. It's art. I've decided.
It's art of a certain kind.
In terms of like the controversy surrounding the video, I feel like I'm not so interested in discussing that because like it's been discussed to death. But the thing I do want to point out, and this is specific to my interest, and I'm just guessing, Brian, I don't know you well, but I do feel like this is going to be something that you also needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
The music video was directed by Mary Lambert, who you might recognize as having directed Pet Sematary, Pet Sematary 2, a bunch of other incredible music videos. But if maybe you're more of my kind of cloth, you will recognize her as the director of Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge.
You're joking?
No.
They brought in Lambert for Halloween Town 2?
Calabar's Revenge.
Are you kidding?
Say the full fucking title, Brian.
Calabar's Revenge. Sorry, Calabar's Revenge. I can't believe it. Did she get brought back for Halloween Town High? Or was it just Calabar's Revenge?
I don't actually know. I just saw Calabar's Revenge and everything went black.
I can't. That's impressive. And I'm surprised that that's not first on her Wikipedia page.
I know.
That's astounding to me. But in looking at now, okay, just thinking back to my experience of watching Halloween Town 2 on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, one more time. We need that full title.
Sorry, the Halloween Town 2 Calabar's Revenge.
Thank you so much.
On the Disney Channel as a child. There is an element, I can see the influence of, well, the growth into that from this current Madonna music video. She definitely honed her craft and then created.
I agree.
Calabar's.
Completely agree. Okay, I have this last note that is, it blew my mind. Maybe it's common knowledge, but I highly suggest reading the Wikipedia page for this song. There's all sorts of crazy shit in there. But one thing that really struck me is that they don't know if Prince did or did not contribute to this song.
Okay.
Here's a quote from that collaborator, Patrick Leonard.
Uh-huh.
What I know is that his guitar, this is a quote. What I know is that his guitar work is on when you start Like a Prayer. That guitar that you hear before the door slams. Some versions of the song have like this riff. I chose one that does. We'll listen to it in a second. That's Prince. What happened is Madonna sent him something to play on and he played on it and sent it back. And we didn't feel like what he did served it.
Oh.
But that piece, that beginning is him. Then he goes on. Recently, I listened to the song again. I hadn't heard it in years. Don't brag about it. There's a heavy rock guitar that's in the bridges. I don't think it's Prince. There's a heavy guitar in the choruses. And when I heard it, I thought, did we use his guitar in those bridges? Because the sound is similar to the first sound in the opening, but it's not exactly the same. But I know for a fact that we did use that Prince thing as the intro because we just thought it was crazy and really cool. I seem to recall that's all we used, but I could be wrong.
That's amazing. How could you manage to do that? Like, I get it as a creative that was like, I don't know, potentially high while doing this creative process. I can get you not remembering. Mm-hmm. But surely there was a lawyer somewhere figuring out the royalties of this, right?
He's even uncredited.
That's unbelievable to me.
He plays elsewhere on the album, but on this song, I guess it's like the Tootsie Roll Owl. Like, we're just never going to know. Okay.
That's amazing.
And then my last thing I'll say is regarding the two, like the different versions of this song. I didn't know that there was a version that starts this way until I got this comment from my patron, Elena Nelson. I was listening to my iPod on shuffle once, and while walking by a church, this song came on, and all I heard was Madonna's God, and I almost pissed my pants. I didn't know there was a version that started with God.
I did not know that either. But when I looked up the lyrics, and there, sure enough, it says God. And I like tried to find some version that would have that, but I never found it. And so I thought it was just made up.
I had to do a deep dive on YouTube, and it is on Madonna's YouTube channel, but it only has 600,000 views. So I don't know what version of the song this is. I'm used to the one either with the supposedly Prince guitar, yeah, or none of the guitar, but listen to this one.
God?
Yeah.
And then it starts as it does.
And then it just starts, wow.
God?
I wonder if that made it better or worse for the Catholic Church. You know? Do you think they put it in after the Catholic Church got really angry? Or do you think they had it in originally and the Catholic Church was like, can you be a little bit more ambiguous about it? Can you not be speaking directly to God at the beginning?
Yeah, right? I mean, it would at least be like, God Franklin? Like a different God of some kind. God Carol Canderson?
That would have definitely cleared it up for Pope John Paul.
God, addendum, by which I mean Jeffrey Gregenson. I don't know why I can't think of a single real name right now.
Jeffrey Gregenson is correct. That was my fourth grade English teacher, Jeffrey Gregenson.
Is your mom's favorite chaperone friend?
Yeah.
Okay. With that said, are you ready to start the song?
I'm so ready. Okay.
So this is Prince, maybe.
Potential.
Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone.
Preach.
I hear you call my name, and it feels like home.
I don't know why I cut it there. I probably shouldn't have.
No, I think this is important to talk about this first introduction, because like the slamming of the door.
Who did it?
We literally do not know who did it for the guitar, but the but the slam of the door also confusing to us.
Are there doors in churches? I thought you had those little booths with a curtain.
Are you asking if churches as a concept have doors with which to get into and out of? Because yes, there are large doors that get you, but if you're talking about like
a door you can slam,
you can slam doors in churches.
Okay.
I know from experience.
I'm gonna go into a church and slam one and say Brian said this was okay.
It's allowed. You're allowed. That's the one thing that they say you could do at churches, no questions asked. But the if you're talking about, you think this is happening in a confessional? Is that what you're imagining it is?
I don't know.
Those also have doors.
Okay, I have so many questions. First of all,
okay,
were we in like a cool basement, like having a jam sesh, and then we went upstairs and oh, it's a church basement?
Yeah, that is a good idea for it, because also given the not to say that potentially Prince's guitar work is sloppy right there, but it doesn't make sense in the context.
The only context I can figure, and this isn't very fun, so I apologize.
Yeah.
They had Prince put something on a song that they then didn't want to use, and they were like, we can't slight Prince in this way.
Yeah.
How can we use it? Just have a weird fade for 10 seconds at the beginning.
Yeah, someone was like, chop it, make it a little weird, and throw it in there.
And then the scene transition, door slams.
Yeah.
Choir starts.
You're there. You're up. You're kneeling by the altar. You're just praying to someone. God. As she says at the beginning.
God. And then we get all this percussion, and now we're going to... And a potluck? I don't know. Okay, listen.
Yeah.
When you call my
there it
name,
is.
Starts with the chorus.
It's a strong move.
Also, the bass in this song, I'm just going to point it out now, slaps the whole way through.
It's so good.
And then back down to Sad Town.
Back down to Sad Town. Yeah, the I love the fact that it starts before the full percussion comes in. It gives you just some dude smacking around some utensils.
A
like
triangle,
on,
a fork,
yeah,
a spork.
A spork. The fact that this instrumental also kind of sounds like every instrumental of like a spy heist movie.
It's that ting, 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 ting.
Yeah, right? They're creeping around. They're about to, like, something could go down. But then they, again, they bring you into the intense potluck music.
That's field so day. Good. That is field day. I just want a fucking day. Red ribbon, which is an honorary ribbon. It was not a place for a spoon a with an egg in it running too slow. Couldn't win. Never won. But the steel drum band made it all worth it.
It was. Oh, did you have an actual steel drum band at a field day?
Oh yeah, every field really? Day the steel drum band came to the island. Bum-a-lina, bum-a-bum. And we're all like, "This is tight, but can you play Under the Sea or nah?"
All I remember about my field days growing up was that we all had to do a dance, like a warm-up dance, to Gloria Estefan's Get On Your Feet.
Get on your feet.
Yeah.
What was the dance?
Well, it was mostly just like stretches, but like my PE teacher would lead us through it. And we were all excited to get on our feet and then go do some field day work.
As an adult, don't you look back on that and you're like... That person that we all thought was so dorky is actually the coolest person alive.
Yeah, 100%. It was so good.
So what she said...
yes.
I mean, we all know it, but I guess I've never really thought about it. When you call mm-hmm. my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. Mm-hmm. That's obviously the part that everyone's like, you want to suck God's dick? And it's like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or pussy, by the way. But, I guess it doesn't totally, I don't really know if she's talking to God. We don't know, right? We don't know.
Yeah, it could be to really anyone, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously she did specify God, but that could have been
only in that
Jeffrey
one
Jenkinson.
Version, and it could have been Jeffrey Gregerson.
Yeah, exactly. So that is all up in the air, but there is no doubt that it's horny, right?
And that it slaps.
And that it slaps. It's the truth. I can't believe how good the bass is. That little down, down, down.
At the very like end of the song where it no longer subscribes to song anymore. It's yeah. like a jam that they put to tape. I did grab yeah. the album version, so I hope you're ready for 5 minutes and 40 seconds of it.
That's another thing I noticed. Like yesterday I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, this super good pop song. I realized it was 5.5 minutes. It doesn't feel like 5.5 minutes. I can deal with that, right? But it is an epic.
It's because we go to hell halfway through. We go to hell.
There's a full arc. This is the real Dante's Inferno experience.
And she also says in the second half of that, in the midnight hour, I can feel your power. So that's either a midnight mass or a midnight dick appointment. We don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Can't tell.
I don't frankly care. To me, they might as well be the same thing. Again, I don't understand religion. Okay, now she goes back to this like super depressing vibe that's like mm-hmm. fine, yes. I guess. But
yeah,
it's just.
You gotta have the lows.
I didn't mean to make a catchphrase for myself on this podcast, but unfortunately, my brain wants to repeat the same neural pathways, frankly, because I'm lazy. And so when I hear mm-hmm. a song do this, I'm like, okay, so the climax is the chorus. And mm-hmm. so you're just trying to make that more explosive for us by giving us a shitty verse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the word.
You're not going to say the
no,
word.
No, because I get tagged on Twitter 100,000 times a day. Anything that says this word, it's like, no! And I'm like, it's true, but I need to do something about this or my reputation will be too good. I'm trying to keep it bad.
It's also difficult because this could be about like the word that is your brand
yes.
that you've unintentionally or intentionally developed could be just about landscaping
yes, I've,
as well.
Trust me, or poles. That's the latest one. Or, you know what else?
Yeah.
Frosting a cookie.
I can't say. Yeah, when you're doing royal icing and you need to frost around the...
Those oddly satisfying videos. Yep. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's this part of the song. This is putting the frosting around the cookie so that when you do your flood icing, it'll have a boundary. Yeah.
That's it.
I hear your voice.
That percussion's still
it's
in there.
Like an angel sighing.
It is a spy movie.
It is a spy movie. She's creeping through the church. She shouldn't be in this church. Get out of this church, Madonna.
That's what the Pope said. First of all, your point about creeping in the church, that's what pews were designed for, obviously. A lot of places to creep. Second of all, we got to talk about what the fuck does this voice sound like?
It's a choice.
No, it's a voice, Brian. A voice. Like an angel sighing.
Like an angel sighing.
Feels like flying. On the count of three, do your impression of what that sounds like.
of what an angel's sighing is.
Say Madonna in this voice on the count of three, what an angel sighs and feels like flies, what that sounds like to you.
Okay, ready?
One,
go for it.
1, 2, 3.
Madonna.
I was going Old Testament angel. I was going to, like, you know, wheel full of wings, 18 eyes on it. The one that comes in and is like, don't be afraid of me, child. But it's very easy to be afraid of them. Right?
Someone's been playing Hades lately.
It's the truth.
You got a fallen angel on the mind.
No, that was just normal angels. Did you know this, Mia?
No. Well,
are you kidding? Mia, okay, so let me go ahead and just bring you through a real crash course in CCD. Mm-hmm. Basically, angels...
And what is CCD, really quick?
I don't remember what that stands for, but that was like you go to Sunday school.
Okay.
And then you learn about God. But the thing about angels is that when the New Testament came around and when they were trying to get a lot of people to listen, they did a little marketing campaign and they changed them all into hot dudes with wings, right?
Oh.
But old-timey angels were these unknowable cosmic horrors that were shape-shifting and had just wings coming out of everywhere, and they were sometimes just multiple wheels within wheels, or they were on fire entirely. They were not humanoids. They were just fucking scary-ass beings. I'll get you some images. I'll send some your way.
I'd love to see some fanfics with this illustration. I would also love to say, while we're at it, I didn't realize that it was an option to punch up the Bible. So I would like to suggest, if they're going to do a revision anytime soon, I'd like to see some big old titties on those angels. I don't know. Personally, I would be more invested if I saw some big naturals on some angels. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me. That's what I want to see.
I mean, I think that's how a lot of people felt. That's how a lot of, like, definitely... like Michelangelo was slapping those big boys on there, right? Like when he had a chance to slap some big naturals on a couple angels.
It's different when a girl does it, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like real recognize real. Like I got some titties. I want to see some titties.
True enough. Yeah, I just sent you a quick link so you could just have an idea of what angels used to look like.
You just sent me a bunch of goatsies.
Yeah, that's pretty dang close.
I wish that was a joke. I wish I was funny enough to come up with that, but this literally looks like a bunch of goatsies.
They are just a bunch of scary wings pulled out of... Whoa.
Why did that start? What did we do?
Look, Mia, we've already been toeing the line of blasphemy this entire
time. What, because I said I wanted the angels to have titties? What the hell?
Just, God?
Okay.
Every now and again, that's going to pop in.
We're moving on. I'm scared.
We have to go. We have to continue.
Close my eyes. Oh, God, I think I'm falling.
No longer flying. Falling.
Not falling.
Out of the sky. She's also an angel. Base comes back, everything's okay.
Back to it.
This is my favorite sounding bass I've ever heard.
It's so good.
Like, this sounds kind of terrible, but I love it. It's like, dum, dum, dum.
It does sound a little bit. So I looked up on the Wikipedia about they had an actual bassist come in, but it sounded like there was some issues between the bassist and Madonna.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
and so it does sound like they kicked the bassist out, and then suddenly they were like, just what's the first preset on this fucking synth? And they'll just hit that bass. We're going to work with it.
It is the most cryptic entry. I could not make sense of it. My understanding, which is probably wrong, is that a bunch of session players no-showed her, but the bassist did not. And I thought, and this is, again, probably wrong, I think this guy did play on this record, but maybe they replaced him. In any case, the end of the second paragraph under the part about, like, the recording process of the song, which is very long, says that session player realized later Madonna never forgave him, and I don't know what she'd be forgiving him for, because, again, he did not no-show. And he realized because she would call him in the middle of the night and tell him to come to the studio just to dismiss him.
That's so good. What a powerful move to do that. I can't believe also that this sounds like it was multiple times that she called him in the middle of the night. And so, like, he basically every time was like, oh no, I'm cool with Madonna. She just invited me, and he gets there.
She won't do it this time.
She is, no, you gotta get out of here. You gotta leave. And he's maybe like five or six times, and he's like, oh, she's never forgiven. Now,
okay. That's how he realized. It even includes that. Realized she didn't forgive him. I'm like, how can you speculate on this? Wikipedia, what are you doing?
Yeah, this is some real editorialization put into this Wikipedia page.
Oh, guess what? You are throwing me segues. Honestly, if someone was listening to this and they didn't know you were on every episode, I think they would be shocked to find that out, because there is some good ass segue chemistry. Editorializing. Let's take a little break.
Perfect.
Hi. Like a child. I'm saying hi like a child now. Hi. That's not a kid. How does a kid sound?
That's every kid I've ever heard.
Hi. Hi, welcome back to Punch Out of the Jam.
That's good.
We're doing like a prayer, and it's kind of freaky because, like, it's like making me feel weird.
Get out of child voice, Bill.
Sorry. I'm doing it because the next damn line, listen to this, it's fucked up.
Like a child.
Mm-hmm. What?
You whisper softly to me.
Where'd that accent come from?
You're in control, just like a child. Now I'm dancing.
Wait, what just happened? Where did we go?
Yeah, we've gotten to the point where she's just listing off different images. Now you're in control, just like a child. I get grammatic. And she originally was like, just like a child, I am just like the child, and you're whispering to me.
Because you're whispering to me like a soothing a kid.
But then, just like a child, you're in control. That the way she phrased that makes it sound like this other person is the child, and they're in control just like all children are.
Maybe she knows some really bossy kids.
I mean, it's possible. I've definitely met some Park Slope children that own the place.
Okay, don't get me started on the kids I see in Central Park. Can't handle it. I heard kids today on the corner of the street, like 13 years old, talking to each other. He's like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, well, I don't want to go to Hebrew school. And he's like, well, then don't. And I was like, what's happening?
That is how this person is whispering as a child that is in control. Madonna.
I'm not comfortable with, like, kid stuff in a sexually...
Yeah, it's...
There's
a lot of strange things going on in that one.
But maybe... This is the prequel to Boss Baby.
Maybe it is.
Or, you know what? Maybe this is the inspiration behind the dancing baby and Alec McBeal.
That's either option, I think, are correct. Both are correct.
This is where she takes a break from the plot of the song to be like, and I also have an idea about a dancing baby.
That's what she's going for. This is like, she's building her pitch. This is the first song that she had bought up by an ad campaign,
Pepsi,
right?
They wanted to use it bad, and then they changed their minds because Pope was mad.
Pope was mad. How many times in an ad sales situation do you think someone angrily slams the phone and is like, Pope's mad?
No, I'm just imagining in the modern day someone typing so hard they're punching the keys all the way through their desk.
I wake up to 7 DMs from my boss. Pope's angry again.
Take it down, Brian. He doesn't want to hear about the Zelda food.
Okay. Man, I wish I made something that made the Pope angry just once in my life. I wish.
That's what I'm saying. I think if I made the Pope angry, I could retire. Like, that's like such an accomplishment. You made the Pope not only angry, know who you are. Like, that's crazy.
True. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that was... are we even halfway through the song?
God, there's so much to take to talk about.
Okay, we're moving forward. It's like a dream. I do think this part could be half as long.
Yeah.
It drags. Just, I think this song could be all chorus.
I agree, too. Now the choir sing it.
The choir makes it.
It's so good.
That vocal arrangement. I don't think that choir gets enough credit. That is the song.
That is the whole song, for sure. I just think that, like, you could put a choir into every pop song, and it would make every pop song better.
I would agree with you. And I also, you know? I do wonder too, like, I don't know. Might cut this part because I don't really have an opinion on it, but I just always do feel weird about like a white singer putting a black choir behind them.
It is uncomfortable. I'll say, so to bring it back to the music video here, I would say that, you know, it was extremely controversial and some people mistook that for being thoughtful. I don't think she nailed it there, especially considering this is a spoiler for the music video. Just again, you probably should have already watched it by
it's
now.
It's been out for 31 years. I think you're past spoilers.
Yeah. At the end of the music video, it's all been a play. There's a curtain call.
There is a curtain call.
After this, like, very high school production-esque understanding of racism in America, it doesn't really nail the landing or any of the points of that.
I don't know that it had a point. And in a lot of ways, I'm like, were you exploiting the struggles of Black Americans to make yourself as a white lady seem controversial? Also inserting herself as like a hero. Also, it feels very fetishizing with that black saint thing. Like, there's a lot of issues here that I think she kind of, I don't know, but at the same time, is it like representation? I am not qualified to say, but what I can say is that there's a lot about it that makes me feel really weird.
Very weird. The only fun part about that video is that she, there's a part where she says she feels like falling, and then the choir leader, the like soloist in the choir, catches her and then immediately chucks her back into the ether.
That part and rules.
I love that part. I was confused by it. I was like, why did you include this in the music video? It seems like it didn't accomplish anything, but it was fun.
I also, the same logic applies. The last line of this verse, let the choir sing. I just love when a song acknowledges it's a song.
Yeah, it is pretty good. You're breaking kayfabe there to bring it back in. Hey, break the fourth wall. We're gonna do something a little wild here. All right, hey everyone, buckle up. There's gonna be people who aren't me singing.
I'm just giving you a little bit of a warning. You're gonna hear a bunch of voices. Don't feel scared. Yeah. You're not having a psychotic break. It is the choir, and I'm letting them sing.
It's very kind.
So now we get this really interesting thing where we just heard the chorus again. At this point, we're on chorus 3, and she was like, no, 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 we have not milked this cow enough. We are going to do a double chorus here where we just ever so slightly change the melody before we go into like a creepy bridge thing. This is back to back. But I'm not mad about it.
No.
Because I do love it.
Again, we could have doubled the amount of choruses in this song.
No, verses. Okay, I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
I forgot that part scares me, so I wanted a second to gain my composure before we
prepare. Is this the place you're imagining when we're getting into the bowels of hell?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? Obviously. Yeah. I'm excited. I don't know if you know this yet. I have a new segment on the show, new being it's been many months actually, but this incredible musician and composer Rob Moose now has this segment at the end of the show where he like does a quick musical analysis of the tune.
Nice.
I don't know shit about theory. I don't know shit about shit. And so I'm really excited to hear what actually has happened here sonically, because I'm sure he has a lot to say about it, but I don't know. I just know that I feel scared all of a sudden.
That's the power of music, baby.
I think your spy motif also takes on a new light here with that like sinister chord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready? It's just pretend. It's a song. Okay. Satan? Wait. I'm sorry. I did not clip it because I did not notice it. Can we talk about this? You can call me. I mean, what I'm talking about, just pay attention to this. You can call me Al Ass Baselick.
Yep. That's good.
Those are like the lost souls.
Yeah.
They're crying out for help.
Home.
She really was like, y'all, I nailed this chorus. I'm just going to write like eight other words in the whole song. And then this is it.
It's...
One of them is a pitch for my baby idea. And then it just keeps going. We stay in this really uncertain place for the rest of the album version of the song.
Wow. But I'm okay with it, honestly. Specifically for that first iteration of the chorus singing at that last line. They're like...
They just keep going. And
yeah. It's so good.
They take me to heaven. Yeah. She takes me back to hell, as does the bass. Okay, here. It keeps going. Creepy bridge. Yeah. This is into that resolve, but then whatever. The bass again. The bass is doing the most.
We made it out. We made it out of the gates of hell. We're out of it. It's going wild.
I finally won 20th place at the egg and the spoon race. That's what that is.
That's what that sound is right there. It's such a good... I love that, like, she doesn't just sit on the same lyrics every time. Specifically, she changes one thing where she goes, "No choice, your voice will take me there." Where at the very end of this section, she just throws in one last two words in there, and just a little bit of extra spice in that final bit before we get out of hell.
Just like a prayer, no choice, your voice can take me there. Yeah. Maybe it's really a statement, the women's bodies movement. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Maybe it is. She's basically just being as controversial as possible in this entire song, which I think part of the... I know we said we weren't going to talk about the controversy, but do we think Madonna specifically expected the Pope to get angry at her?
I bet that was her goal. That's got to have been her goal, right?
Okay.
I mean, with the video too, like, I think it just seems like she was going for controversy as publicity. Like, maybe didn't Madonna a little bit invent, like, controversy being the thing that gets you so... I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe so. What I do know is that the song does keep going.
It keeps going.
I didn't quite realize, considering I've only, I guess, heard an abridged version of the song. I thought we got that resolve, and then we had, like, I thought it like faded after this background vocalist was like, but instead it goes like teeters between this purgatory of happy, sad music.
This is the best part of the whole thing for me. Okay. This next section.
33 seconds, which, by the way, I want to almost screenshot this and send it to you. My clip, do you know what it's called?
What?
The best part.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
Where's that guitar? Is that Prince?
Who could say?
Who is that? Here you go.
Oh, yeah.
They are vibing on this.
Oh.
I hear shouting.
Yeah.
Oh, I think perhaps I just didn't clip the last part that I don't like.
You just didn't clip it?
I must have.
You didn't. You just didn't clip it at all? That's the spot. I was going to say the whole point of this song is building up to this part where it just gets wild.
Okay,
and I love that.
Let me pull it. I did not mean to do that. But certainly what happened is I clipped that part and was like, and that's where it should end.
And Miel created her own radio edit for this 31-year-old song. Okay. She won't have any more.
Where I clipped it, we still have a minute and 30 seconds left.
Wow.
I really thought that was the end. I was like, 10 clips? That's gotta be enough. I was so wrong.
That's amazing. That's a powerful move by Madonna to just send us right back to hell for the rest of our time here.
I mean, why do we exist at all, I would ask? What kind of benevolent God would create us for only to die? Should we listen to the whole minute and a half left?
No, it's just vamp. It's just vamp. Look, I mean, I'll be honest with you. As much as she specifically wrote this song to piss off old Johnny P2,
yeah.
She did write it like most good gospel church songs, which are built for a vamp at the end where the pastor can come up and be like,
"Hear ye, hear ye."
Yeah, that's how all pastors sound. They come up and they say, hear ye, and they...
What the fuck is up, everybody?
That's what it is.
I'm kind of with you. I'm like, we could do this. We could.
Yeah.
Should we?
I mean, this is where they just, like, fill in the stuff that's like, hey, we remember we've got the big bake sale that's coming up next Tuesday.
If you got any,
yeah, that's basically what this part comes into.
Hey guys,
right?
We're gonna be passing around the basket. These shows are free, but we do ask for donations to keep the lights on. We got a lot of people to pay all the snacks. Everyone's paying for that out of pocket. So if you have a fiver, a tenner, I don't know if you're feeling generous, maybe a 20-er. Otherwise, we're going to keep playing this song.
We're just going to keep going. It's one of those immersive theater experiences where you have to choose when you leave. But there's always like that one awkward family that's like, oh, but no, they're still singing. We shouldn't be leaving yet. Now we go?
Nope.
Okay.
You're never getting out of here alive, brother. This is like, I went to Sleep No More when I first moved here. With friend of the pod, Travis McElroy, and I had no context for what it was. I had never heard of it. He just invited me and I just went.
That's a fun way to go.
And then we all split, so I was alone for the whole show, which, by the way, if you don't know, it's like an interactive, like, haunted house, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. That's loosely based on Macbeth, a show at that point I had never seen and had no context for. And that experience did feel like the last minute and a half of this song.
Yeah, that seems right. Just a lot of confusion.
Wandering around a dark theater being like, what's happening? Where is the exit? Is this candy edible?
I mean, that's how I think Madonna really is working on that haunted house experience with this song. Right?
It's never being able to end this song. It reminds me of friend of the pod, Chris Fleming's Benny and the Jets bit he talks about, because at the end of that song, Elton John is obviously trying to end it for so long. Mm-hmm. The choir is like, we only got paid for an hour.
Yeah. Now, in a similar vein to they just had this piece of Prince that they were like, we gotta put it in to be nice. Do you think that they got the choir to sing just a bunch of vamp and they were like, okay, don't worry, we're gonna fade
copy
it out,
paste, copy
right
paste.
we're gonna fade it out like in 10 seconds and the choir singing, and like the engineers just snoozed out and just didn't think, we're still go, keep it going, I want extra b-roll for this thing, just come on.
It's like when you're working with the director that just kind of doesn't say cut for a really long time. I get it, my guy. My main takeaway from this tune, is that the bass is so good.
It is so good.
That's kind of my main, the choir and the bass, like I could take or leave any of the rest of it.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I love a good organ at the beginning. Should have had it throughout more of it. I want more church organ in all of my pop music.
You love Faith Then by George Michael as well, I assume.
Absolutely, for sure. But it's all about the bass and it's all about the choir.
Did you just accidentally quote Meghan Trainor?
As my personal lord and savior, Meghan Trainor, married to Juni Cortez.
From Spy Kids, thank you.
From Spy Kids. That's my personal holy trinity. I don't know who the third one is.
It's all about that bass, and I do. It's Calabar. So before we get to Punch Up, Should There Be One, which at this point I feel very conflicted, but we will get there in a minute. Because first, are you ready to listen to what weatherman, musician, residence, Robert Jefferson Moose, not his middle name, has to say about this song?
Please.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be stepping into this little moment because, lo and behold, if music theory ever uttered a prayer for relevance in the world of pop music, it may have been answered by this very track from Goddamn Madonna. Might you recall, faithful listeners, my words on this episode's predecessor? I was talking about how whenever I hear a song, I'm, I believe, quote-unquote, on the hunt during the intro to identify the chords and see if they'll either continue to the next section or, more thrillingly, find a home later in the song. Well, Like a Prayer is such sweet, filthy payoff for a mind like mine. And I'm not talking about that like Jesus statue crying in the music video. No, people. I'm talking about chords. Let me break down how this song works for you. Love a good pedal. This time it's a D hanging out beneath the moving chords until we all kind of come together here for this uplifting, religious, redemptive experience. Gorge. Please remember those chords because we're not done with them. Like many a good pop song, we get to the chorus straight away, and because it wouldn't sound right on the piano, let's just quickly pause for section identification. We go from this rollicking chorus into a faithful verse, which will remind you of the intro, but it's not the same. And we're going to alternate between these sections a couple of times before we get back to where we started. Life is a mystery. After the third chorus, which is a double chorus, something amazing happens. We arrive again at this D minor chord, and we kind of hang out. And who can tell what's going to happen? I knew right away. Because I'm fucking laying in wait for this shit. It's the intro, repurposed as a bridge. Or maybe the intro itself was repurposed from the bridge. Either way, it comes back, and not just once. It is a major feature of the rest of the song. Thank you. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. That's what it felt like listening to this song. I've been talking about all this. Bridges, continuity between sections, the surprise return of chords from earlier in the song that may have seemed obscure. Come on! It's all here! I think the bass player on the track is as psyched as me about the return of this section because he absolutely rips it up every time on the long runway of that D pedal. He didn't win any awards for taste, but I dare say it's energizing what he does in those moments. Okay, Miel, I talked about the bass. Back to you, Chef.
So good.
I love that now, like, Rob's whole thing is, like, if I like a bass line, he will not. That's a litmus test. If I like it, he will not.
Wow. That's, I mean, look, Rob was right. It's not the most tasteful, delicate bass line, but who wants that?
No, he takes, you know? I like that you can feel the bassist's energy, that he is jacked to get back to that section.
Yeah.
As much as we are. Although apparently not Rob. Did you hear how fucking horny he got for that return to the original phrase?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It is good. It is a very good. Also, the fact I didn't realize that Madonna wrote and produced this along with her writing and production partner.
I think he wrote I think he brought the music in, and then she, I think, did like the melody and the lyrics. But I know she's super involved in her process too. She was telling the session players how she wanted them to play, like using their terminology. Like, she knows her shit.
Yeah. That's impressive. I mean, it's good as hell. This song is well structured, and so I get it.
If it passes the Rob Moose seal of approval, and that guy fucking loves music, or at least understanding it and trying to make it better, then it must be a good tune, no?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Is there any world in which I could make it better?
I mean, so Miel, I have to ask you the question. Can you anger the Pope with a punched up jam?
I was thinking about that. I was a little, I mean, my go-to is like, hey, Madonna, if you're gonna say it, fucking say it.
Like, yeah.
Don't be a coward. If you're gonna say you wanna suck God's dick off, say that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, do I want to anger the Pope?
the thing is, right now, let's be honest, the current Pope is, way chiller.
He seems kind of nice.
He's super chill. He's probably already a big fan of your podcast. So, like, let's be real. If Pope Francis gets angry with you, that's almost like, wow, you've pushed a little bit too far almost, because he's super chill about a lot of things. Not the most chill. He is still Catholic. But I'm just saying, I think, I don't think that you're going to be able to piss off Pope Francis, which might be an unpunchable jam.
So that's kind of okay. I'm going to, at this moment in time, leave it up in the air, because I need to sit on it. I know people get pissed when I don't do punch-ups, but I'm also not looking to be thrown in God jail.
In God jail?
And that's clearly the only way to do it, unless I just want to appease Pepsi, which was
the other option is to make a song that Pepsi can finally put up without.
Life is a Pepsi. Everyone must drink Pepsi.
I mean,
hear you say,
I wouldn't hate
we
to hear.
Like Pepsi.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is good. It's the anthem we need this year.
Listen, either way, I'll give it away right here, and then we'll come back.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now, the world premiere of
the Like a Prayer punch-up, except now, we're not being cowards with our blasphemy. Bring it on, Catholic Church. You can't censor this. Ha!
Let's get to Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Yes.
Brian David Gilbert. Yum. What's your Unpunchable Jam?
Did you just turn my name into the Red Robin?
I was either inspired by my punch-up or trying to compensate for the fact that I didn't do one.
Well, that's good. I love to hear that. So my Unpunchable Jam for this week is... It's by Sakan Action, which is a Japanese band, and so the name of the song is in Japanese characters, which I cannot read.
You should try.
Wasurarenaino, which means like I can't forget. Roughly,
okay.
It's so good. Wasurarenaino. It's so good. The music video is like 80s and weird, yep. And it's just so funky, and it's so good. And it's been like, I'll tell you what, for my current quarantine, there have been like 3 songs that have defined this quarantine. And so I know in like 3 years, I'm going to hear this song and it's just going to remind me of COVID and that's going to suck. Yep. But for right now, I'm listening to it every day and I'm having a great time.
Isn't that fucked to be like aware of like what's getting you through this time will be forever ruined to you when this time is hopefully ever over?
Yeah, it's gonna I'll look back. It'll be bittersweet, but I'm gonna enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, and now you're giving, this is really like an It Follows situation. You're giving that disease to me too, because from what you just described, I'm gonna fall in love with this song during quarantine in this economy. So thank you. For mine, I wanted to shout out a song that I think everyone already knows, but I still love it because, well, it's just good. But my kind of thread here was like artists that Prince collaborated with that I don't feel like that's really known about enough. Anyways, it's Janelle Monáe's I Like That. So often find myself singing that oh me oh me oh me oh my, and also the way this song like changes musically throughout the different sections, there's a lot about this song that just really fucking works for me. It makes me feel good.
Janelle Monáe does that. General, I feel like
I know,
so good.
She's like, I can't believe her talent. She's such a good actress. She's such a good musician. She's such everything about her. And she's also like, sorry to objectify her, but she's so fucking hot. Like, I don't think you should be able to have all three. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think
you've combined the Triforce, and at that point in time, you're just bound to take over the world.
Speaking of take over the world, Brian, I cannot believe that you now have a podcast, or you're revamping your podcast that you have with 2-3 other people, one of whom is Karen Hahn, also been on this pod, one of my favorite guests, and where you guys write a song every episode. Is that right?
That is the thing. Yeah, it's my bandmate Jonah is an actual legitimate audio producer, and basically Karen, my sister Laura, and I chat over tweet suggestions for song titles, and then we turn it into a song. And usually by the end of it, it's great because the song itself sounds killer, because again, my friend Jonah is actually good at music, but the lyrics make not a lick of sense. That's, because it's like,
you're among good company, honestly. Look at the song we just unpacked.
It's true, you know? I feel like that's fine. If Madonna can get away with adding a child and then being like dancing and then suddenly we're falling but now we're flying, I feel like we could manage to make a song as well that is pretty good.
Oh, hey, maybe as the send-off, should we put in one of the songs you guys made as like fade it out as the episode
ends?
It
won't make any sense. It's lyrical wise, but yeah, no problem. That would be great.
I would just love to shout it out because, I mean, you're great. Karen's great. I'm sure your sister's great. I'm sure your roommate is great. If you like you, you're going to like it, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming back. This was really fun.
Of course, it was really fun. It's always good to be here.
Is there anything else you want to shout out?
No.
Perfect. Me neither. If you don't know about me yet, what the hell?
Yeah. You know, at this point, I don't want you. Come on.
Perfect. Well, then don't follow any of us and don't come back in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
It was the middle of the summer. I was staying at a Radisson Blue. The breakfast was continental and the creamers were hazelnut too. I loaded up my plate with seconds like a greedy raccoon. I was wearing my red moon boots and I was headed out soon. I rented out an Applebee's for a safe and swanky affair. A dinner for one so fancy even kings would want to be there. I brought my flavored mayo and I ate till I had my fill. But that's when I saw them coming over the hill. These handsome gents all shining bright, their biceps flexing in the light, revealing their prodigious might. They said it was a hunk night summer. It was a hunk night summer. Didn't know from where they hailed, but boy, am I glad they're here. They brought their own champagne and a pyramid of chandeliers. Watching them all grooving, all my worries began to fade. Just a bunch of muscle boys, and my summer was made. These handsome gents all shining bright, their biceps flexing in the light, revealing their prodigious might. They said it was a hot night summer. It was a hunk night summer. A hunk night summer. I wish this summer'd never end.
These handsome gents made summer last, my memories in amber cast, now golden relics of the past.
Gimme, just gimme a little hunk in my summer. Gimme, just gimme a little hunk in my summer. Gimme, just gimme a little hunk. Gimme, just gimme
a little hunk. It was a hunk night summer. It was a hunk night summer.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.